Welcome to Investigative Post's Money in Politics. I'm Jeff Kelly, government and politics reporter with Investigative Post, and I'm talking with Ken Crooley, who researches and produces Money in Politics, a regular feature on our website. Ken wades through campaign finance filings to uncover who bankrolls our elected officials, and then on this podcast, we discuss why. Welcome, Ken.
Thank you, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Ken, this week you turned your attention to judicial candidates, how much money it costs to become a judge, who underwrites their campaigns, etc. In our political ecology, judges are unique creatures, right? Explain why.
Well, they're unique because they're supposed to be basically running nonpartisan, nonpolitical campaigns, no attacks on opponents, trying to just discuss their resume, if you will, their experience either on the bench or as a practicing attorney. Every now and then that gets violated, but for the most part, that's the way they run.
That's the way they run, but in fact, some of the most intense politicking in Western New York occurs around these races, you know, the horse trading between party leaders to create cross endorsements, et cetera. Isn't that right?
A lot of cross endorsements. So the time period that I looked at, there were 18 seats up between state Supreme Court and a couple of county court judges and family court. And out of those, only six of them were contested. The other 12 seats were all by cross-party endorsement. They weren't necessarily always able to avoid raising money, but for the most part, much less than a contested race, which can get very expensive in this region and in Erie County.
Let's look at some of those numbers. Let's look at how much some recent judicial candidates spent on their campaigns.
Okay. Let's start right with the one that just completed. With State Supreme Court, Democrat Amy Martocci contested with Gerald Greenan, the Republican candidate for the office. They have one more filing that is due this week, but between the two of them, just through the immediate preceding election period, they've spent and raised about $700,000, which is a whole lot of money for a judicial race. But it was because of the nature of the thing. It was very competitive, it was thought. It's turned out to be not so much that way when the results were totaled up, but nobody knew that at the time.
Right, and on election night, it looked close. In fact, Martocci, who's the apparent victor, was down.
Considerably,
but then absentee ballots and mail-in ballots came in. And
that put her over the top by a fairly comfortable margin. When all was said. And the other interesting thing is it's sort of a footnote to what I mentioned about the nonpartisan nature. This campaign kind of walked right up to the border of that because Martocci had a commercial that compared her qualifications with an unnamed opponent who we knew she was running against. But there were references to her endorsements, particularly with the Bar Association recommendations. Mr. Greenan didn't have any of those, and so that was a contrast that you don't always see in a campaign. Greenan had a commercial which was sort of strange in some ways. It's him walking out of the art gallery. I don't know if they thought people thought that was a court or something, but they tagged on to the beginning of it scenes of burning and looting going on in some place. Didn't identify whether it was local or someplace else, but they prefaced that as to he would be a tough judge on crime. The thing is that state Supreme Court judges almost never get into criminal cases. They just do civil cases.
Right. So totally non-political, totally nonpartisan.
Yeah. Didn't quite match that this time.
At least based on the filings we have, it seems as if Martocci outspent Greenan. But Greenan, this is his second shot.
He ran last year for the same office. Between the 2 years, he spent on personal money about $300,000, which is a considerable amount of personal finance. But it is somewhat in the nature of the way judicial races are financed around here compared to a legislative or executive race.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's something you notice that it seems as if candidates for judgeships spend a lot of their own money and family money. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, the thing with a judgeship is that it's not like you're supporting an executive or legislative candidate, and maybe they can help you with a contract. Maybe there are things that will come up in your business that are relevant to you. And so, and there's a lot of political folks who have jobs from these politicians, and so they will contribute. So the average executive or legislative candidate raises the overwhelming majority of their money from normal campaign contributions from businesses and individuals. But judges, on the other hand, in the years that I took a look at this, were personally financing more than half of the cost of judicial races. In the 6 years that I looked, the combined 18 races cost a little under $5 million. $2.6 million of that came from their personal finances, which is an extraordinary amount of money. A lot of it borrowed, in some cases paid back, in some cases not.
So in that sense, Greenan, who spent a lot of money these last 2 years to try to get a judgeship, is not really an outlier. It's fairly typical.
Yeah, it's sort of an exaggerated case because he ran 2 years in a row and lost twice. But it's typical for a contested race.
Why? Why? What's the inducement? Obviously, it's a nice title.
Well, it's a nice title. It comes with a nice salary. The salary of these judges are over $200,000 a year. They come with, for county court seats, they come with a 10-year term. For Supreme Court, it's a 14-year seat. They also, at the end of the rainbow, when they get ready to retire, having a salary in that range certainly adds to the potential of pension that you'll collect from the state. So there's a lot of financial benefit, and in some cases, I suppose, a candidate may not publicly talk about this, of course, but they're looking at it as purchasing a benefit for their future by their own contribution to the campaign.
And a big one. I mean, for a county judge, it's a $2 million plus benefits, plus retirement proposition.
Right.
For a state Supreme Court judge. It's
going on $3 million.
Yeah.
Because it's a 14-year term, and the benefits are also fairly generous too, and the pension will be there when they're done. Many of these candidates have had other years of service in the state retirement system and other jobs, and so adding a term or two as a judge on top of that certainly makes the pension benefit very nice.
So for Greenan, if he felt like he had a reasonable chance of winning an investment of $300,000 of his own money, it's actually not a bad bet.
Well, I wouldn't suggest that that's why he ran, but certainly it's got to be in the back of candidates' heads that there is a pot of gold involved in this thing.
One thing I've noticed looking through the numbers is that judicial campaigns, they often act as conduits. They filter campaign money to candidates for other offices throughout the region. Let's look at the case of Asia Mosey, who raised an extraordinary amount of money for her race for surrogate judge.
She raised $450,000 and loaned her campaign $450,000 more for a total of $900,000 for a race that wasn't contested.
Although we should add that perhaps part of the reason it wasn't contested was that she raised $900,000.
Yeah, that sort of scares away some opponents. And she wound up spending about $180,000 for a non-contested race and gave back a good chunk to her donors, repaid a good chunk of the money she loaned, but also, as you have noted, distributed some money to parties and other candidates. Not unusual, but her amounts were very high in what she did there.
Yeah, it ended up, of the $180,000, let's say, that she spent on the race, $38,000 comprised donations to other candidates for office that year, to campaign committees, housekeeping committees, what have you. A pretty significant chunk.
Big chunk, and she had the wherewithal to do it, and she was still able to retrieve a good chunk of her money. I mean, it was kind of evenly split between her money and donations, so the money went back pretty much in the same proportions. And out of the $720,000 that was returned, she got about $355 or $360. The donors got the same amount.
Yeah, and it should be noted that that $38,000 in contributions went to Republicans, Democrats, to different factions of Democrats. All over the lot. She was pretty. Pretty nonpartisan in spreading the money around, which for a judge is good politics, right?
Yeah, and not unusual. Judges, candidates have done that before, some of them in the last few years, but the dollar amounts that she dispersed were substantially more than many other candidates have done.
Yeah, and as you pointed out, her race was non-contested. She raised all that money, but raising all that money is kind of contributed to it being uncontested, right?
Yeah. You know, that there was all kinds of stories about the line outside of the Kleinhans building a mile long for the donors getting in for the contributions. And then everybody knew how much was collected. They knew that she was putting in her own money. And whatever other candidates might have thought about running all fell by the wayside.
Yeah, and probably will when she's up for reelection.
Yeah.
An interesting thing that you note is that because they're supposedly non-political judges, once they have won their seat, they're required to shut down their campaign accounts, right?
Right.
What do they do with the money?
Well, in some cases, such as Judge Mosey, she, as just mentioned, gave back a substantial amount to her contributors. There have been other cases. There was a Judge Perdotto gave back $54,000. Judge Ferraletto gave back almost $57,000. So there have been cases. On the other hand, the year that Judge Ferraletto ran uncontested in 2018, the other seat that was up also uncontested was John Curran, Supreme Court Justice. He raised $127,000, and he managed to spend almost all of it. Distributing it in many dispersed ways, sort of like what we were talking about Mosey, just not in the dollar amounts that were used by Mosey.
Right. So in a way, a judge's race, if the judge is willing to participate, can act as just a second fundraising arm for whatever party that judge is supposed to pretend they're not affiliated with.
that's the way it comes out often, yes.
Yeah. It's an interesting game.
It certainly is.
A recent scandal, or as it turns out, a series of scandals, has reminded us that not all judges around here are elected. I'm referring to acting state Supreme Court Justice Mark Grisanti, who was appointed in 2015 to the State Court of Claims by Governor Cuomo, and then in 3 years later made an acting state Supreme Court Justice here in the 8th Judicial District. He's never been elected to that seat. And he's pulling that nice $200,000 salary. He's made certainly well over $1 million so far since in 2015. Let's talk a little bit about Mark Grisanti and the...
He's, as you mentioned, a Court of Claims judge officially. They're appointed by the governor. They're not elected by anybody. They have 10-year terms. At the end of the 10 years, he would have to be reappointed by another governor if he was seeking another term or if he chose to run for something else. But they get the same dollar amount that the Supreme Court judges collect, which is a salary of over $200,000 a year, same pension benefits and all that stuff. And so he's got some similarities to an elected Supreme Court judge, but at the end of the term, not so nice compared to some of the others.
Yeah, so in June, he very famously gets into an ugly brawl with his neighbors. In just last month, in October, a video of that confrontation surfaced and sort of fanned the flames on that controversy and led that incident to be brought to attention to the Commission on Judicial Ethics. Since then, there's been another case referred to the Commission on Judicial Ethics. I should add, because of that confrontation in June, Grisanti was compelled by his boss to recuse himself from hearing cases having to do first with the Buffalo Police Department, then sort of a blanket ban on him hearing cases that have to do with where the city of Buffalo is a party. Since then, we've learned that there is now a complaint about his handling of a case where a client was represented by attorneys who owed Grisanti money.
Yeah, they had purchased his law practice from him.
Yeah, and they were paying on some sort of installment basis.
Mm-hmm.
And he found in favor of their client, basically rewarding their client money, which by extension rewards them money,
right,
which is a bad look for a judge.
And so that is now another subject for investigation by the commission that investigates those things.
Yeah, so it sounds as if, the Commission on Judicial Ethics, it's difficult to see into their proceedings or into their minds, but So it's hard to say what will happen. But who knows? Maybe we'll be talking about fundraising for another judicial seat sometime yeah, soon.
Could very well be.
So I understand next on your docket, Ken, we're going to be looking at State Senator Tim Kennedy, who's been a fundraising machine since he took office.
He certainly has been. He currently has over $1 million in his account, but over the years has raised probably substantially more than that. We'll get into the details. And he's been a state senator for a number of years and been very active. He's rising in the ranks of the state Senate. So he'll be an interesting topic to take a look at.
So that's Money in Politics for this week. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Jeff.
I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
You can follow Ken's work at politicsandstuff.com. And of course, keep coming back to investigativepost.org for our deep coverage of issues of importance to Western New York.